मन्मातः श्रीजगन्मातो मद्गुरुः श्रीजगद्गुरुः मदात्मा सर्वभूतात्मा तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। चेतो दर्पणमार्जनम् भवमहादावाग्निनिर्वापणम् श्रेयः कैरवचन्द्रिकावितरणम् विद्यावधूजीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुधिवर्धनम् प्रतिपदम् स्नपनं परं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनम् नमः कमलनाभाय नमः कमलमालिने नमः कमलपादाय नमस्ते कमलेक्षण यो ब्रह्माणं विदधाति पूर्वं यो वै वेदांश्च प्रहिणोति तस्मै तग्मं ह देवमात्मबुद्धिप्रकाशं मुमुक्षुर्वै शरणमहं प्रपद्ये।
Dear devotees, we'll have a few minutes of Nam Sankirtan, and after that I'll continue with the topic I've been addressing the last couple of days.
Bihari Lal Ki.
I've been talking to you for the last couple of days about the importance of and the significance of Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj's life in this world, and specifically the teachings that he propounded in the world. This can be called Mahatmya Gyan. In other words, to understand the greatness of something. When Sri Kripaluji Maharaj gave his series of lectures, the Narad Bhakti Darshan, a series of 11 lectures, in the final lecture he explained the importance of Mahatmya Gyan in devotion to Sri Krishna. He said that although we are following the path of Raganuga Bhakti, in which hum Bhagwan ki Bhagwatta ko bahar nikal dete, we take God's almightiness, His godliness, and we throw it out so that we can love Him as our master, our friend, our child, or our beloved. Because where there's almightiness, there's distance. So by establishing one of these relationships with Him, you are in effect removing those thoughts of godliness. This is the path of Raganuga Bhakti. We follow in the footsteps of those Brajwasis who loved Krishna in that way. However, even though in our meditation we do this, and in our heart, when we think of Radha and Krishna, this is how we think of them, we don't think of their almightiness, yet, along with that, we need an intellectual understanding of who they are. Even though we don't meditate on that, that Sri Krishna is Paratpar Brahm, he's the absolute supreme power who's worshipped even by Vishnu, Shankar and Brahma, we don't meditate on that. But we still need to know it and understand it, because it brings more stability to our devotion. If you're having good sanskars, then you can just keep meditating on Radha and Krishna, doing Rup Dhyan, chanting their name, and you're feeling bhav. At that time you may feel like, why do I need all this Mahatmya Gyan? Shri Krishna kon hai? Krishna tattva kya hai? Radha tattva kya hai? Why do I need all of this information, this heavy knowledge? You don't feel like you need it when you're having good days and you're feeling lots of bhav. But when that bhav suddenly vanishes when you're going through some difficult sanskars, that's when you need that knowledge to understand, even though I'm not feeling anything right now, this is who Sri Krishna is. And that supreme Sri Krishna, He is mine. And all of that knowledge gets you through those difficult days. Without that Mahatmya Gyan, Sri Maharaj explained that a person's devotion doesn't remain sthir. It doesn't remain stable. You go up and down with your sanskars. The Mahatmya Gyan, the knowledge, the spiritual knowledge. And as I said, Mahatmya means of the greatness of something. So if you have this knowledge, knowledge of the greatness of Radha Krishna, the greatness of the path of bhakti, the greatness of Premanand, which is our goal, then you remain much more stable in your devotion. If you find that you're unstable in your devotion, that you go up and down a lot with your sanskars, it means that that Mahatmya Gyan is weak. You need to strengthen that. So I've been, along these same lines, I've been sharing some Mahatmya Gyan about Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. In a similar way that we know about Sri Krishna's greatness, but we love Him in Raganuga style. So although Shri Kripaluji Maharaj was Jagat Guru, but to a lot of people, those who knew him personally, they didn't think of him as Jagat Guru. Maharaji's actual title is a big long, see, this is Premras Siddhant. This is telling who wrote it. That's Maharaji's full title, given to him by Kashi Vidwat Parishad. So if we were giving him proper respect when he entered the hall, every time we would say, Srimat Padavakya Pramana Paravarina Veda Marga Pratishthapanacharya Nikhila Darshan Samanvayacharya Sanatana Vaidik Dharma Pratishthapana Sat Sampradaya Paramacharya Bhakti Yogara Savatar Shri Bhagavadananta Shri Vibhushit Jagat Guru 1008 Swami Kripaluji Maharaj ki. But what did we say? Pyare pyare papa ki. In other words, all glories to my loving daddy. So, even though he had and he occupied the topmost seat that you could, like, in a political way, the topmost seat is the president of any country, or prime minister, or king. Sri Maharaji was the only Adi Jagat Guru in the world. There's no higher spiritual seat. Who could be more deserving of respect? But in Raganuga Bhakti, just like you don't think of Sri Krishna as Bhagwan, you think of him as your master, as your friend, as your child, as your beloved. So just like in the world, there may be a high court judge who's so respected, Supreme Court judge, respected and even feared in the world. But when that judge comes home to his child who's been playing in the mud, the child doesn't think, oh, here comes the Supreme Court judge. I better bow down. I better treat him with respect. No, he's full of mud and he runs and jumps on his father, getting him full of mud. And his father just embraces him, happy to see his boy, because he's a father to that boy. He's not just a Supreme Court judge. And that boy doesn't truly appreciate his father's position either. That's the other side of it. That boy loves his father, and the world looks at that boy and says, you're so lucky. I tremble before this man, and you jump on him in your muddy clothes. But the boy doesn't fully understand who his father is either. What is it to be a Supreme Court judge? That's beyond the intellect of the boy, and truly speaking, he doesn't care. He just wants that Supreme Court judge to be his father. When I was in Mangar just now, I was talking with Sri Maharaji's younger sister, we call Buaji. Just like we call Sri Maharaji our papa, our father, so we call his younger sister Buaji. So she was talking about their mother and saying that she lived well into her hundreds. And even in her final days, she was very strong and her voice was very strong, just like Maharaji's. So I asked, because she was saying, and when she called Maharaji, you could hear it. So I said, how did she used to call Maharaji? Hey, Jagat Guru! She imitated Maharaji. Buaji also has a very strong voice. So a mother doesn't care how high her son has risen. The mother, in the mother's eyes, that son is always her little boy. It doesn't matter if she's illiterate and her son holds the top post in the country. He's always my son. That's it. So this is like a combination. We need both the Raganuga Bhakti, that's the path we're following, but the more Mahatmya Gyan we have, the more we appreciate what we have. When that boy grows up, and he realizes, when he gets enough power of intellect to realize, what is a Supreme Court judge? Oh, my father was a Supreme Court judge? I had no idea. I used to treat him so casually. So we will also appreciate more if we understand the greatness. So along these lines, I've been focusing on Sri Maharaj's philosophy, how he represented the philosophy of the Sanskrit scriptures in this world in such a way that was both so logically perfect and beautifully presented to be able to impress even the topmost scholars, and simultaneously practical enough to be understood by an uneducated person. And resolve all the doubts and remove all the confusions that prevail in this Kaliyug. So we touched on a few of these points. Now the first time that Sri Maharaji did this in a public way, he was 32 years old. The year was 1955. Sri Kripaluji Maharaj at that time was not Jagadguru. And he organized a conference, a big Darshanik Sammelan, inviting 72 of the top scholars of India to come and meet in Chitrakoot, the divine place where Bhagwan Ram stayed during his Banvas. And Sri Maharaji arranged this whole program, inviting all of these scholars, and he also prepared the topics upon which he was inviting them to speak. He was not going to speak. He was the organizer and swagatadhyaksh. He had to welcome everybody, make sure that they were properly taken care of. So he was the organizer of the whole event, but he did not give himself a place to speak. But everyone was invited knowing that there were going to be tens of thousands of people from the general public, a huge crowd there, and they were also going to know what topics everybody was supposed to speak on. There were handbills handed out that said these are the issues that are going to be resolved or addressed in this conference by these topmost scholars of India, 72 of them. All of the Jagadgurus were invited. There were no original Jagadgurus at that time. These were all Jagadgurus sitting on the throne of past historical Jagadgurus. And many, many other very important scholars of India, Sanskrit scholars. So the points that Sri Maharaji had put forth in writing is that, number one, he wanted people to address these confusions that were prevalent in the world. So he said, first of all, in our scriptures there are so many different forms of God described, and in history saints have worshipped so many different forms of God. So we have to address this topic, that why so many forms of God and how are they interrelated. Number two, in the Vedas, you see certain mantras that are for the personal form of God, Sakar Brahm, and some that are for Nirakar Brahm, formless God. So, why? Also, in addition to that, there are so many paths described in these scriptures. Bhakti, Gyan, Karma, Yoga, Tapasya, dozens of paths. So, why are there so many paths described? Are they all correct? If not, why? Which one is correct? How are they interrelated? Now, all of this was just the first point. There were four points. So that's point number one. Point number two. There are certain scriptures, such as Purva Mimansa, which do not refer to God at all and only talk about attaining more material pleasures. What is the use of such scriptures, and why do they exist, and how do they coordinate with the other scriptures that are more on the topic of God and God realization? Number three, the past Jagadgurus established philosophies. Jagadguru Shankaracharya established his Advaitvad philosophy. Jagadguru Nimbarkacharya established his Dvaitadvaitvad philosophy. Jagadguru Ramanujacharya established his Vishishtadvaitvad philosophy. And Jagadguru Madhvacharya established his Dvaitvad. In addition, Vallabhacharya ji, who was not given the title of Jagadguru, but he also wrote Bhashyas on our Prasthanatrayi, the Upanishads, Gita and Brahma Sutra. So he also established a Vishuddhadvaitvad. So you have five different philosophies prevalent. And they all have differences. So why do these differences exist? And please reconcile these views. That was number three. And number four, what is the path of bhakti? Describe its characteristics. Describe how it's referred to in the six darshan shastras. These were the four topics that Maharaji told everybody who was invited before they came. These are the topics that you're invited to speak on. All the public knew that these were the topics, and these were the most important issues that had to be resolved that people are the most confused about. So it would be very helpful to the public to do this. It was a 16-day conference. For the first 7 days, nobody spoke on these topics. They kept speaking on the same things they always speak on. The public started getting restless, and all these invited scholars started to get a little worried. The public was complaining that we came here to hear the resolution of all of these issues as it was advertised. No one's speaking on these topics. So these scholars got together without telling Sri Maharaji. They had their own meeting. And they said, this Kripaluji Maharaj who's called us there, he's set forth an impossible task for us. I say we challenge him to speak on these topics and let us speak on whatever we want. So they thought that it's impossible. So he will... if he accepts our challenge, he will probably fail. So they challenged Sri Maharaji to speak on these topics. And there were 9 days still left in that conference. So from that day, of course, Maharaji accepted the challenge. Although he had never spoken in public before, he got up on the stage that night and he spoke for 3 hours. And he spoke for 3 hours every day for the last 9 days, and he answered every one of those questions, totally reconciling it. Now, there was one very important scholar who was there at that conference. His name was Giridharji Sharma. He was the vice president of Kashi Vidwat Parishad. Now, keep in mind, Sri Maharaji was about to turn 33. He was still 32 years old at the time, so young. The vice president of Kashi Vidwat Parishad. Now, Kashi Vidwat Parishad at that time was the most renowned body of Sanskrit scholars in India. Kashi has always been the center of scriptural study and Sanskrit study in India. And this Kashi Vidwat Parishad was comprised of more than 500 of the top scholars of India. So it was considered to be the elite organization amongst all the scholars. And the vice president was there and he heard Sri Maharaji speak. There were a few others, members of Kashi Vidwat Parishad, who were there as well. They went back to Kashi and they started praising Maharaji to all the other members of Kashi Vidwat Parishad. So they didn't really believe. They thought that it sounds impossible. None of us could reconcile any of these things or speak on any of these topics. And we're lifelong scholars and experts in our individual areas. And he's only 32 years old and no one's ever heard of him before. So next year, at the same time, Sri Maharaji organized another conference, this time in Kanpur, also a 2-week conference. So this time, secretly, the Kashi Vidwat Parishad decided to send some people to appraise Sri Maharaji. They sent their leader, the general secretary, Raj Narayan Ji Shukla Shat Shastri. The leader, the general secretary of Kashi Vidwat Parishad, came with a few scholars, and our idea was, we're not going to tell him that we're coming, we're just going to show up, and then we'll see. How is this Kripaluji Maharaj? So, when Sri Maharaji, who was again the organizer of that conference, when he saw Sri Rajnarayan Shatshastri Ji there, he invited him, you please, you also have to speak. So, you know, he showed him proper respect. And it's normally considered to be, you're given more importance if you speak at the end. The less important people should speak first. So he said to Sri Maharaji, that's fine, but I'll speak after you. So Sri Maharaji said, sure, no problem. When Maharaji sat on the stage to give his speech, the general secretary of Kashi Vidwat Parishad sat with a notepad and a pen. And he sat directly in front of Sri Maharaji, and his message was, and his intent was, whatever mistakes you make, I'm going to note them down, and in my speech, because I'm speaking after you, I'm going to point it out to everybody. So Sri Maharaji spoke, and his pen didn't move. He stayed like that. He was amazed, in fact. And when it was his turn to speak, he politely declined. He said, I won't speak today. He requested to speak tomorrow, but he requested to speak before Sri Maharaji. So the next day, when it was the time of Raj Narayan Shatshastri Shuklaji to speak, he sat up on the stage and Sri Maharaji sat in the audience with pen and notebook. But Sri Maharaji's pen didn't move either, because his whole speech was about Sri Maharaji, praising Sri Maharaji. Imagine, this is one of the most respected scholars, an elderly, lifelong Sanskrit scholar, the head of the most elite body of scholars in India, and he made his whole speech about Sri Maharaji. Here in this Premras Siddhant, which is Sri Maharaji's first book that he wrote, which contains a synopsis of his whole philosophy, there's a couple of paragraphs quoted, the exact words that were spoken that day about Sri Maharaji. So I'll read you a little bit of that. It's amazing. Kashi ke pandit asani se kisi ko samast shastron ka vidwan nahin swikar karte. It means that we, the pandits of Kashi, do not easily accept anyone to be the knower of all the scriptures. Hum log to pehle shastrarth karne ke liye lalakarte hain. First we call him out. We challenge him to debate. Hum use har prakar ke kasauti par kaste hain. Or tab use shastragya swikar karte hain. We test him in every way, and only when he has passed all of our tests do we accept someone as shastragya, the knower of the scriptures. Hum aaj is manch se is vishal vidvat mandal ko yah batana chahte hain ki humne santagra ganya Shri Kripaluji Maharaj evam unki bhagavat dat प्रतिभा को पहचाना और हम आपको सलाह देना चाहते हैं कि आप भी इनको पहचानें और इनसे लाभ उठाएं. So he says, I sit here on this manch before you today, and I'm proclaiming to you that I recognize the divinity of Sri Kripaluji Maharaj, and I urge you to do the same and get the benefit of his association. He goes on to say, Kashi samast vishwa ka gurukul hai. Kashi is the gurukul of the whole world. Hum usi Kashi ke nivasi yahan baithe hue hain. We, he's referring to the other scholars from Kashi as well, we are from that Kashi and we're sitting here. कल श्री कृपालु जी के अलौकिक वक्तव्य को सुनकर हम सब नतमस्तक हो गए. When we heard Sri Kripaluji Maharaj speak yesterday, we all became surrendered to him. हम चाहते हैं कि लोग श्री कृपालुजी जी महाराज को समझें और इनके संपर्क में आकर उनके सरल सरस अनुभूत एवं विलक्षण उपदेशों को सुने तथा अपने जीवन में उसे क्रियात्मक रूप से उतार कर अपना कल्याण करें. We wish that everyone would listen to these great speeches, these divine and enlightening and practical speeches of Sri Kripaluji Maharaj and practically apply it in their life and get the benefit and apna kalyan kare means get the ultimate benefit, get liberated and get God realized by putting this philosophy practically into use in your life. So imagine, that is our Sri Kripaluji Maharaj being praised to those heights by the topmost scholars of India, and yet it didn't end there. This was 1956, October 1956. So after that, the General Secretary of Kashi Vidwat Parishad, along with this handful of other scholars, returned to Kashi and told the rest of Kashi Vidwat Parishad, again in these glowing terms. They were again disbelieving. How can it be possible? We don't believe it. So they all had a meeting and decided, let's invite him here and we'll test him ourselves. We'll see how he is. So there was an invitation sent to Sri Maharaji to come and give a lecture in Kashi. This was in January of 1957. So at that time, Sri Maharaji was just 34 years of age. 34 in a couple of months. He went to Kashi and he gave a 9-day series of lectures in Sanskrit. Now Maharaji had studied Sanskrit, so to speak, as a boy. When he was 14, he went to Mahu in Madhya Pradesh and he studied at a Sanskrit college. And he got the title, the degree of Vyakaranacharya when he was 14 years old. That's a degree that usually takes several years of study. When you get a full understanding of all Sanskrit grammar, you get the title of Vyakaranacharya. Maharaji got that when he was 14. He got it because he passed all the tests of that school. He didn't study any of the books of that school. He went to school, he owned all the books, no one saw him study any of the books. So he got that title. And over the years, up until he was 16, he also got, he studied Ayurveda, he got a couple other titles in Sanskrit. When he was 16, he left all of that and started, you can say that he revealed more of what's actually inside of him. There's a rule that a saint follows. Gopaniyam, gopaniyam, gopaniyam prayatnatah. Although a true divine personality who is one with Radha and Krishna has the unlimited ocean of divine bliss here on the inside, he controls it. He doesn't let it overflow, because if he lets it overflow, he can't relate to people in the world. He's absorbed in his own divine state. So up until age 16, Maharaji had behaved as an amazing boy, but more or less normal. At this point, Sri Maharaji let his inner true state, divine state, be revealed outwardly. And he left that school and he wandered into the jungles. In what state? Totally absorbed in the highest states of divine bliss. Remember yesterday I explained to you that the bliss of formless God, Brahmanand, is unlimited. But it's not even a drop compared to the ocean of divine love, which I told you has 8 different classes. prema bhakti, sneha bhakti, man bhakti, pranay bhakti, rag bhakti, anurag bhakti, bhavavesh bhakti, and mahabhav bhakti. So that topmost state of mahabhav, the topmost state of bliss, when someone is in that state, you can't tell. But sometimes it may overflow from their heart and it's revealed through their physical body. Rup Goswami says, Stambha svedotha romancha svarbhedotha vepathu vaivarnyamashru pralaya ityashtau sattvika smrita. Bhaktirasamrit Sindhu says that there are eight signs that appear in a saint's body that give you some hint what's actually on the inside. Bhagavatam also says that when a saint hears the singing of his divine beloved Radha and Krishna's name, he may enter into a state where these sattvic bhav are revealed. Evam vrata svapriya naam kirtya jata anurago druta chitta uchai hasatyatho roditi rauti gayat tyun madavan nrityati loka bahyah. In other words, there are some physical manifestations in the body, stambha, due to the effect of the inner feelings, that ocean, unlimited ocean of bliss that's overflowing and flooding his mind. He may become completely still like a pillar, unmoving, stambh, sved. His pores may open and sweat may pour from his body profusely for no apparent reason. It's also a symptom of that inner heat of divine love. Romanch, the hairs on the body stand on end and you get the goose pimples. Swarabhed, the voice may change dramatically, like the tone of the voice can change due to the, it becomes like gadgad. Vepathu, the body may tremble uncontrollably or jerk violently. Vaivarnya mashru pralaya, ashru. Vaivarnya means the complexion of the face may also change, go from being red to totally pale, very pale, something like that. Ashru, profuse tears coming from the eyes, non-stop. And pralay, losing total consciousness. In addition, Bhagavatam says, hasatyatho. He may laugh loudly for no apparent reason that we can see. He's seeing something else. Rodati, he may cry bitterly for the vision of Radha and Krishna, or cry tears of happiness in meeting with them. Nritya lokati bahyatah, he may dance in that bhav, following no particular classical rhythm or mudras, he's dancing in that heightened state of blissful consciousness, in that ecstatic state. So all of these things were manifested from Sri Maharaj's body at that time, at the age of 16, when he entered into the jungle. And for the next 2 years, until the age of 18, he wandered in this way, in the jungle, through various villages, always absorbed in this state, not talking, not eating from his own hand. If someone fed him something, he ate. Not even clothing himself. People would clothe him because the people who had some knowledge of the scriptures, they recognized. And they called Sri Maharaj at that time Paramahansa Ji. They didn't know that Sri Maharaj-ji was absorbed in a much higher level than a Paramahansa. Paramahansa, that word is normally for someone who's absorbed in the bliss of formless God and thus oblivious to the world around him. Sri Maharaj-ji was absorbed in the highest bliss of Radha and Krishna and thus oblivious to his own physical needs or anything else around him. Sometimes he was chanting Krishna's name, sometimes he was crying for Krishna, sometimes he was laughing, dancing, falling unconscious. So in this way, he wandered around and people were graced with his association. So he was revealing what was on the inside, that Mahabhava state he was revealing to the world. When he was 18, at the request of some very elevated devotees, he started giving formal satsang, formal chanting. Up until then, there was no, okay, at this time, Maharaj-ji is going to come and sit. You can come and have his association. He's going to chant. You can do kirtan. There was nothing like that. He started concealing his bhav to some extent so that he could give a scheduled type satsang program at different devotees' homes and people could come and get the benefit of those chanting programs. So once he started doing these kind of programs again, he also here and there took some more exams, got some more Sanskrit degrees, got another Ayurveda degree, Ayurveda Acharya. So he's a very decorated scholar, you can say. And that Sri Kripaluji Maharaj, who after years of, although he controlled his bhav to some extent, whenever he was chanting, he was always in bhav. And he didn't follow any particular schedule that he had to be in this town at this time. He could just leave and no one would know where he went. And when he was coming back, he would go and visit devotees in another town. He would organize sometimes 1 week, 2 week, 1 month, 4 month long sankirtan, akhanda sankirtan programs for the benefit of the devotees. So in this way, he was distributing the bliss of Radha and Krishna name all over, wherever he went. And also, people could glimpse the height of the bliss that was inside of Maharaj-ji when he gave those chantings. But he gave no public speeches until that day in Chitrakoot when he revealed to the world the scriptural omniscience that he had, which again was made known the next year in Kanpur, and because of that he was called to come to Kashi. So when he came to Kashi in early January 1957, there was a great excitement, but also a lot of apprehension amongst the scholars that how could it be true? All of these things that we've heard. So Sri Maharaj-ji started speaking that first day in Sanskrit, but in simple Sanskrit, very simple Sanskrit. So the scholars sitting there, you know, of course, they were all here to test Maharaj-ji. They were thinking, okay, he's speaking Sanskrit, he's speaking well, it's proper, but it's not very high Sanskrit. So as Maharaj-ji kept going through that lecture the first night, he started elevating his Sanskrit, becoming more and more difficult, using higher and higher language. So by the end of that speech, there were many scholars who couldn't even understand what Maharaj-ji was saying. They weren't at that level to be able to understand. That was the first night. So the second night, the hall was full good and early. And even those scholars, those aged scholars who never go to listen to anyone speak, because everyone comes to hear them speak, they got there good and early to get a nice seat in the front row and be close to Maharaj-ji. So the excitement grew and everybody's amazement kept growing throughout this 9-day speech. One devotee who came along later told that one day Maharaj-ji gave 3 speeches. He gave one speech at a school, like a regular college. He gave another speech at Kashi Hindu University, and then the third speech that evening at Kashi Vidwat Parishad. So he said, if you had heard all three speeches, you couldn't believe they were given by the same person. Because the first speech was very simple, explaining some important things, but in a very simple language with very down-to-earth examples. The second speech was quite a bit different at quite a higher level because those were students of Sanskrit at Kashi Hindu University. And the third speech, of course, was to the topmost scholars of India. So the level of that pravachan was very high. This illustrates another thing which is so great about Jagatguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. He's able to speak at the level or above the level of the highest scholars, and at the same time he can talk to an ordinary person and explain the same thing to him at his level. Not everyone can do that. A lot of times if someone has a very high learning, he wants to show his learning all the time. So even if someone isn't understanding what he's saying, he's peppering him with all kinds of scriptural concepts which are beyond his intellect. Sri Maharaji wasn't about showing people how qualified he was. He wanted to explain things so that people would understand and follow it. That was his purpose. Now, on this first night as well, the expectation was, since these scholars had invited Sri Maharaji to test him, they knew that, Sri Maharaji knew that, that after Sri Maharaji spoke, there would be some debate. Someone would find something they didn't agree with, and they would take up a debate with Sri Maharaji. This is the tradition. It's called Shastrarth. Then you would see who would come out on top. So after Maharaji's speech, he invited them to debate. Not one single person got up out of that whole body of scholars. And the same went on for the entire 9 days. And after those 9 days, on the final day, all of those Kashi Vidwat Parishat scholars got together and had a meeting, and they said, none of us is willing to debate with him. None of us can even take issue with a single thing he said. And he's reconciled all of these issues that we could never even imagine addressing. According to our tradition, we have to accept him as Jagatguru. This was an unprecedented thing in the history. Because although there had been four previous Jagatgurus, they had become Jagatguru in a particular style. They themselves traveled around India and debated against the scholars of the various localities, one-on-one mostly, or maybe one-on-two. Here, all the scholars got together at one place and called Sri Maharaji, 500 against one. And none of them was willing to debate. They said, no, you can't debate against him. You can debate against someone with a material intellect. You can't debate against Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. It's impossible. So they said, we have to accept him as Jagatguru. We have to ask him to accept the title of Jagatguru. But not just Jagatguru. They gave him that title that I recited for you before, and they also wrote 7 shlokas honoring Sri Maharaji and describing his greatness. That's also printed here. They wrote this, they composed these shlokas themselves, these scholars, and in that they call Sri Maharaji Jagatguru Uttam. Jagatguru Uttam. It means he's not just Jagatguru and he's not just Adi Jagatguru. Adi Jagatguru means an original Jagatguru. The other Jagatgurus of that time and also of this time, there are other Jagatgurus in the world, they inherited the title through this lineage from the original Jagatguru. Adi means original. So there were only 4 original Jagatgurus. So Maharaji was not just being given the title of Jagatguru, he was given the title of Adi Jagatguru, original Jagatguru. But not only that, Jagatguru Tam, the supreme Jagatguru of all the Jagatgurus. Because other Jagatgurus introduced their own perspective their own explanation of the Sanskrit scriptures. That's why they each have their own philosophy. Sri Maharaj Ji, when he explained things, didn't just explain things from his side, he also referred to each of those past Jagadgurus, proved that what they were saying was correct, and also reconciled what they were saying with each other. Showed the world that they were all correct, but from what perspective, you have to understand. So, as part of his title, he's called Nikhila Darshan Samanvayacharya. He's the reconciler of all the apparently disparate views in our Sanskrit scriptures and in the teachings of all the historical Jagadgurus and other saints. He reconciled all of that, so he is Samanvayacharya. Thus, they gave him the title of the Supreme Jagadguru. He's the Jagadguru of the Jagadgurus. So, with this understanding, we can understand, we can appreciate a little bit more how lucky we are. Not were, are. Because what Sri Maharaj Ji revealed in the world, this unified and reconciled view of this, of the philosophy of the Hindu scriptures, it's not just for this time or that time. It's for thousands of years to come. He's put everything in such a neat package that there's nothing more to add, nothing more to figure out, no more confusions to be removed. There's no need for anyone else to come and say, oh yeah, but see what Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj said, that doesn't coordinate with what this past saint said. No, Maharaji already fixed all of that. It's all coordinated now. No one has to come and say, oh, but in this scripture it says this, and in this scripture says that, so why did... No, he already explained all of that. Nothing left to explain. And it's all recorded. We have video recordings, and we have print, and we have audio recordings of all of these speeches that he's given since he became Jagadguru. For decades we have all these recordings. So this is a treasure for us and for the whole world. Right now, we know about it, and a few people who watch Maharaji on TV, a few thousand people who watch Maharaji on TV know about it. So you can say that we're the custodians of this divine treasure. And it's our opportunity and our responsibility to let everybody else know about this treasure. Because it's not just for us. Yes, we have to put it to use in our life, definitely. We have to become examples of the positive effect of practically following Maharaji's philosophy. But we also have the opportunity to become pracharaks, all of us, to spread this treasure, spread the knowledge of this treasure so that more people will come and benefit from it. This is what Radha Madhav Dham is here for. For what? It's like a repository of all of this treasure here for the Western world. In India, of course, Sri Maharaj Ji has his main ashrams, Bhakti Dham, Mangar, Shama Sham Dham, Vrindavan, Rangili Mahal, Barsana, and these are going to be the guiding lights, the shining stars that will attract devotees for thousands of years to come and study and learn the philosophy of bhakti, the path of God realization through the words of Jagadguru Sri Kripaluji Maharaj. And this is the main center for the rest of the Western world. And there's a few of us sitting here today to honor Sri Maharaj Ji and celebrate the arrival of his Divya Asthi, which are going to be established here out of India. Can you imagine? Here in America, it's beyond anyone's imagination. Or abhi to thode se log baithe. It won't remain like that. Whether we take part or not, this is going to spread. But it's our opportunity. Do we want to become a part of it? Do we want to become part of the effort, do seva to Sri Maharaj Ji, both by following his philosophy, that will make our pyare pyare papa the most happy. If we apply his philosophy and we get the benefit and we find Radha and Krishna in this life, we can still do that. That's in our hands. If anything, we should be more motivated now. We should feel more urgency. Then who knows when our time is coming. Nothing else has changed. We still have the same knowledge available. The same grace is available when we do sadhana. And the same seva is available. We can get involved physically, financially, all of that to serve Sri Maharaj Ji and his mission. And through this center that's been established here, which is now further glorified, it was glorified initially by Sri Maharaj Ji's own lotus feet when he physically came here and visited every corner. When I walk around with people and I'm giving them the tour of Radha Madhav Dham, whether it's inside the mandir or outside, it's like I can't take two steps without saying, oh, and when Sri Maharaj Ji was here, he did this here. Oh yeah, and over here he did that. Over here he did... Everywhere you go. He graced every corner of Radha, these whole 200 acres. So he glorified Radha Madhav Dham with his presence. And now he's further glorifying it by gracing us with the presence of his Divya Asti, which is going to be permanently established here. So this is truly a divine place. There's no doubt. And it's our good luck, the result of our past devotions, the outcome of the grace of Sri Radha and Krishna, that we're here today. And we can further increase our speed on the path by doing more seva and helping to, through Radha Madhav Dham, make all of this available to more and more and more people. So that's why we're gathered here this weekend. This is why we'll continue to gather here. And it's what we need to keep in mind going forward. We need to appreciate what we have been given. Not what we had, what we have, and what we have to do, how we have to use it going forward. We have to keep all of that in mind. Then we can really make Sri Maharaj Ji proud of us by getting the practical benefit of all of his teachings. बोलिए जगत गुरु श्री कृपालु जी महाराज की जय।